Romans chapter 16. I want to read the last few verses of Paul's letter to our brothers and sisters who were at Rome. I'll begin in verse 21. Timotheus, my fellow worker, my work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. This is the only place we know for sure that's where Paul allowed the person who wrote down what Paul was saying to him. He actually let him actually write some things and say something here. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Quartus, our brother. And this is going to be the end of my actual text now. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, because there is no gospel apart from the preaching of Christ. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Pardon me. My subject for this morning, or I probably better by title, is this: God's secret is out now. That's right. You know what I'm saying? God's secret is out now. Now in verses 21, 22, 23, 24, Paul and Tertius sends hellos to Rome from some at Corinth. Is there any lesson here? I won't spend much time here. Is there any lesson here? Yes, there is. Actual greetings in Christ are never to be just social niceties. As Earl used to say, a word to the wise is sufficient. I don't know how many times someone said to me, if I'm going to another church or going to meet with other believers, tell them I said hello. Yeah. And I forget. Yeah. And I don't. And if God sees fit in his wisdom to put even hellos and greetings in the holy canon of God, we ought to take our hellos and greetings seriously amongst God's people. Now, lesson learned. So let's consider Paul's concluding words under two headings, just two: who God is and what God is due. I didn't say what God owes. Mm-mm. What God is due. Now, Paul introduces these two things by this phrase: now to him.
Yes, sir.
Now to him. And then he speaks of who God is. And then he speaks of what God is due. Now to him. In other words, now to him who is. And now to him who is due. You see it? Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known. The secret's out now. Yes, made, sir. Known, okay? Made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. I will preface it by saying, at one time, this was not made known to all nations. At one time it was not, and I'll speak a little bit more about that in a moment. So first of all, the first heading, now to him, who God is. First of all, God is the God of power to establish you.
Amen.
You see it? In other words, he is the God of might and authority, of power and authority or right. Sometimes some men may try to say, which one is it, might or right? It is always with God both.
Exactly.
It's never, ever only one.
Yeah.
Now we, under God, may be given some might, even when we don't have the right. And in some things, we may be given the right, but we don't have the might. But never can it be said about God that he has the might, but he don't have the right.
Exactly.
Or that he has the right, but he don't have the might. It is God, the God of might and authority. Second, under the God, God is the God of power to establish you. Second thought under this heading, God of might and authority to establish. That means to set fast.
Yes, sir.
To set fast, to turn resolutely in a certain direction. He's got the might and the right to turn us and set us fast in a certain direction.
Yes, sir.
Now think about this. Here's the source of this direction. And we'll give you just a reminder. We've already looked at this weeks ago. There is a passage. Let me just read it to you. You don't have to turn. It's in the same letter, but I want to read the words that Paul wrote. And let me find my spot. Okay, hold on. Just a moment. Okay. Now listen to it. For sin shall not, not should not, not may not, not might not. For sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
An astounding statement.
Yes, sir.
Especially when I look at myself and know a little bit about myself.
There you go.
For sin shall not have dominion over you. For. So we're going to get the explanation of it. For you're not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
Note, it don't say we have grace, though that's certainly true, but we are under it.
Amen.
Grace dominates the life of the believer.
Exactly.
And I want to try to explain it. It doesn't say we don't have any sin in us. We got all kinds of sin in us.
Oh, yeah.
Sin and sins. But it says sin shall not have dominion over you. What was it that kept you from believing God in the beginning?
Sin.
Yeah. Sin.
Yes, sir.
How is it that all of a sudden that changed?
Yeah.
God moved you from under law and self and sin, and he put you under grace.
Amen.
The power, not in yourself, but from him that's able to establish you. Him that's a power to establish you. Now, I can believe God.
Amen.
I find myself believing God in spite of the sin I see so rampant within me.
Exactly.
Why? Because that sin does not now reign over me.
That's right.
Now, I still have unbelief. It's still there. And I cry out to God, help my unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Not even, Lord, help me to deal with my unbelief. You can't. You can't handle your unbelief. You can't get the upper hand on. You're not under sin. It dominates you because you're under grace.
Amen.
What was it that kept me from repenting?
Yeah.
Sin.
Amen.
That's what it was.
Amen.
What was it that kept me from saying, I'm the guilty one.
Yeah.
And I need to turn. Turn to God. Turn to Christ. Believe Christ. Turn away from my idols of sin and self and self-satisfaction. What enables me to do that? The God of power, who's able to establish you. And remember, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What kept me from enjoying the house of God? What was it that caused me to come simply out of duty later on, or because my parents simply told me I had to? What was it that kept me from actually enjoying the assembly of God? Two things. One, the first one I was in wasn't an assembly of God. So I'm glad I didn't enjoy it that much.
Yeah. There you go.
But there did come a time later in life where I straightened up my act. And I became it. But what caused me to enjoy this kind of assembly?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
What was it that kept me from that sin?
Yes, sir.
Sin. But it doesn't dominate me now.
Exactly.
There are times I had to get up very early this morning and go to work already and may have to go back. I'm tired, but I enjoy being here. When I was dominated by sin, I'd have used that as a clear excuse not to be. Hmm? And why? It's because I'm some great person? No. No. Now to him that is of power to establish you. Do you see it?
Amen.
What kept me from walking in accord with his commands of love and faith? What was it? Sin. Sin. Now, sin still causes me to stumble.
Oh, yeah.
But he lifts me back up.
Amen.
He establishes me, and he establishes me. And Mac, he just keeps establishing me, setting me in the right direction. When I turn my face this way, he'll turn me back.
Yeah.
He turns me back. And it, as Joseph, it hurts when it happens. But afterward, you thank God for it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Why? Because sin don't have dominion over you anymore. Now, Joe, if I could turn my back on this assembly and the truth of the gospel and go my merry way, then God has not established me ever.
That's it.
Because if he begins the good work in you, he will perform it. He will perform it. But it's performed according to my gospel and Christ preached. It's not, well, but the reason this guy's so bad is he don't have enough rules or laws. No, that's probably he's acting out against it. The flesh loves to rebel against authority.
You're right.
And when you put rules and regulations on men and women, the flesh rises up and says, I will not.
Yeah.
I remember my papa, my grandfather, and we was at a family reunion. And there was a big mud hole out there. And of course, it was a big family. There were a lot of kids and, you know, middle-aged folk and old people there at the reunion. And the kids, well, you could just tell, they was wanting to go stomp in that mud puddle. My papa said, hey, you kids, y'all go over there and jump in that mud, play in that mud. No, it wasn't one of them that wanted to do it after that.
Yeah.
Because they were told to.
Exactly.
Henry Mahan once said out here at Kirksville Tabernacle, he once said, how do you make men and women more rebellious? Put laws upon the wall.
That's right.
But if grace, if you're under grace, it dominates you. And you serve and work and walk by love.
Amen.
You do it because you love to do it.
That's right.
And that's the big difference between me now and way back yonder.
Exactly.
Way back yonder. It's according to my gospel. And we know this. You know this. Christ is the gospel. Paul started that out in this letter to these people. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. And then go back concerning his son. You see it? Now the parentheses is vital, but I just the gospel of God, verse 3, concerning his son. Apart from the preaching of the person and work of Jesus Christ, there is no gospel.
That's right.
God has done all he can, and now it's up to you. That's no gospel at all.
Exactly.
Make your decision for Jesus. That's no gospel at all. Because it is this. I turned away from it. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be, not made, and declared to be the Son of God with what? Might and right. Power. You see it? Power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Amazing. According to my gospel and Christ preached. As Paul said, woe is me. I don't care what topic in this Bible I'm preaching from. And there are a lot of topics. And they're all valid and important. Okay? But woe is me if when I'm on that topic, I preach not the gospel. The gospel's not an add-on.
Yeah.
It's the sum and substance of everything.
You're right.
It's everything. It's the hub, it's the spokes, it's the wheel. It's everything. And as I've mentioned this here before, some fellow, I didn't know him, but the person that this person said to told me this. He said, well, you know, we just got to get over this thing about Christ, Christ, Christ. God help us to never get over Christ.
Exactly.
And this was a preacher who claimed to preach grace.
Wow.
Get over Christ.
Yeah.
Mm. If I ever think that, oh God, turn me back.
Yes, sir.
Here's a third thought. God is the God who has revealed the secret, which he kept secret since the world began. And it's amazing here, the word. And I know, I don't want to spend a lot of time hammering on, you know, somebody else or something else. But he uses the word mystery. You know what that means? Secret.
Yep.
That's what it means, secret. He uses the word secret. You know what that means? Secret. But it's not the same word. The second one that's translated secret means secret. But notice it is kept secret. Okay? The first one, though, is secret, which is translated mystery. But what does that mean? It's always been a secret since the world began, but it has been revealed to some.
There you go.
A few.
Yes, sir.
The connotation of it would be a very few compared to the whole. Now, I was born and raised that mystery meant this. Basically, this word mystery, especially when Paul spoke of certain subjects, especially the church. The Old Testament knew nothing about the New Testament church. I was steeped in that. And that rubbish still surrounds me, Ellen, that I have to move some of the rubbish out of the way at times. God's church has always been in this book.
Yes, sir.
Church means to be called out.
That's right.
Called out. God's always been calling out his people. But there was a time when God only gave his word to a small, very small group of people. He gave this holy book, especially the Old Testament, only to one nation. That's the nation of Israel. And they were not told to make copies and send it out to everybody else. Were they? Were they? As a matter of fact, it is rare occasion when you find a prophet in the Old Testament from Israel going to preach even to Gentiles. It's rare. Most of their words, the prophet's words about Gentiles, was nothing but woe. 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 And even Joel was so bold that God moved him to write, and it shall come to pass. Why? Because it hadn't yet. It was a secret that God was keeping secret until the time that his secret was to be let out. Joel said, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there you see the secret. And it's kind of revealed. It says, whosoever, not just Jews, not just white people, not just males, okay? And whosoever shall call. But Joel writes it, and it shall come to pass. It hadn't yet. But now God commands all men everywhere to repent. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. The secret's out now. This book has been translated into just about every language that exists upon the face of the earth. And in this country, at least in most of the hotels and motels I've been to, you can find a copy of it in about every drawer and every room.
Yeah.
The secret's out now. But that don't mean that men can readily believe it. You know why? They're under the dominion of sin. And God has to work a work of free, sovereign, reigning grace in their soul before the secret that's out, they can even perceive it and love it and rejoice in it down in here.
Exactly.
So when you read that word mystery all throughout this room, it simply means a secret. It's not talking about spooky stuff. No. It's not talking about something that can't be understood. It's just something that was kept secret. Even here in Paul's language, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Do you see that? It's out there. There is stuff, we were recording stuff, and it's some of us even going out live today that they could hear all over the world. Live! Within a few seconds of me saying a word, they're hearing that very word. Amen. God's let the secret out. But man is so depraved. And when I say depraved, I'm not talking about so immoral. Not everybody's immoral. But man is so depraved, that's so unable to love God, that even when he hears it, he says, I'm not going to have that. I'll believe in Jesus, but not that kind of Jesus. As the one guy taught, I've said this over and over, but I just like saying it because I like the phrase. The guy told Rolf Barnard, he said, your God's a monster. He said, well, then prepare to meet a monster. Yeah. Because the God Rolf preached was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes, sir.
God is the God who has revealed the secret which he kept secret since the world began. The mystery. In other words, as I said, secret only few knew. God's secret's out now. You know why I like that? Because there is the possibility. I'm just speaking in human terms. The possibility, Paul, it may include me. It may include me. At one time, I had to be a Jew. And if I wasn't a Jew, I had to start living like the Jew. To even hear this on a regular basis. You hear what I'm saying? To even hear it on a regular basis. And that didn't mean I was saved just because I started living like a Jew. It's never meant it. Which were born not of blood. That's not a New Testament doctrine. That's an eternal doctrine from God Almighty. Amen. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. That mystery, that secret is now made manifest. And look, the prophets even foretold it in the scriptures. He says it right here. So it's not like it's something God never let out of the bag at all. But he kept that bag very close at hand.
Yes, sir.
And only revealed it to certain people. And it came a time when he only revealed it to a certain nation and gave them this word. Think about it. There was no scripture at all until Moses. None. Other than possibly Job. But we don't really know about Job. Only it may even be that the events of Job preceded even or was during even Abraham's time. But it may not have been written about Ellen until years later by whoever wrote it. But there was no holy scripture till Moses came along. And even then God kept it here. What was the whole thing in Egypt? No blessing was revealed to the Egyptians. It was only to God's chosen people. Israel. And I'm glad. Now I'm going to say it this way. I'm glad not all Israel are of Israel. Because the fact that he broke some off means we could be grafted in.
That's right.
And we're not the church separate from God's Israel. We are the church, and bless God, we are God's Israel. If I'm grafted into the root stock, that makes me a part of it, Jack. Now, don't it? I partake of the root and fatness of the olive tree. That makes me a Jew. That makes me a Jew. Aren't you glad God opened the bag? He said, here it is. Here it is. And he says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Peter said, the day of Pentecost, he said, this is when this has happened. It started just now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, three ways in which God's secret is out now. As I've done mention it. At one time, very few people were preached to. We know what Jonah was sent to Nineveh.
Yeah.
Do you know of any more? Now, there may be a couple I'm missing. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. That's it. That's it. And never were they making Bibles and had scribes making thousands of copies and sending it to the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Philistines. God kept it secret. But now this Bible's went all over the whole blessed world.
Yes, sir.
This gospel's now being preached what? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. The secret's out now. And I'm glad.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad. Repentance was not once universally commanded. Many, I'm not saying they were saved. They got to go to heaven. That's not the point Paul was making. He said, well, this time to this ignorance, this idolatry. What, at one time, God winked at it. He left them alone. He just left them alone. Now God has sent messengers out into all the world and now commends all men everywhere to turn. To turn. Amen. The secret's out. And again, as I said, whosoever shall call upon Christ's name, that was once a future prospect, but now we're living in the reality of it.
Yes, sir.
Are we not? We're living in the reality of it. Truly, God is to God the only wise. If I would have never thought up a scheme like that. Would have you? That's beyond my... Jack, I still have trouble wrapping my puny mind around it all. Well, somebody says, why did God hold out for so long? Because he wanted to.
Amen.
Why did God leave so many people out? Because he wanted to.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's 5,000 or if it's I must needs go through Samaria for one person. That's to the glory and praise of God Almighty. And it's already been said here, if God's pleased to hide it from the wise and the prudent, praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. And reveal it unto babes, praise God. But note, even the babes have to have it revealed to them. We don't know it by nature. We cannot know it by nature. God's secret is now out. But here's the second thing. We won't be long on this. One more. What God is due. Glory. Glory. You see it? To God only wise. Here's what he's due. Be glory.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. For ever. And that's what Paul wrote. Amen. So be it. What do you mean? Glory. He deserves the credit. He deserves the merit. He deserves the praise. He deserves the honor. He deserves the thanks. He deserves the approval. He deserves the recognition. All is due unto God. All glory, not most glory. Not the largest supermajority part of glory. All glory.
Amen.
Whoever glories, let him glory where? In the Lord. And that's why God did it like he did. Because he wants all the glory. He got the right to it.
Amen.
And he's got the might to accomplish it. Because you realize one day all men and women that's ever been, saved, lost, damned, or blessed, will be made to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But remember, it's only through Jesus Christ. And bless God, that's the reason it will be forever. Wind it up. Last thought. Even in glory. When we are in glory. If when glory will be manifest even in us. I remember Earl preaching on that years ago. And I always thought about going to glory. I never thought about glory being revealed in me.
Yeah.
Glory in you. But even then, in that most blessed state, we'll still be giving glory to who? The Lamb.
Amen.
We won't get over him even then.
That's it.
And if you can get over him now, you ain't going to be giving any praise to him other than in your damnation in the world to come. He gets all the glory.
Yes,
Heavenly
sir.
Father, help us. We're so faulty, so prone to minds to wander and to be on other things. Lord, be with us in Christ's name. Amen.